perhaps the most famous question of Parshas Maaseh, why this extensive list of nondescript, almost meaningless, hard-to-find, unknown locations during those years. Very famous Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, even though 40 years elapsed, fewer than 40 locations, 42 locations, many of them in the first year.
Maslemat Meirut Lefanecha.
So essentially, this is a list that generates perspective, that as difficult and as frustrating as these years were, they weren't years of constant movement and constant mobility. Another famous Rashi, that even though we were wandering and even though we were suffering, we still felt Hashem's presence. But a lesser known Medrash, and a Medrash that resonates with significant historical meaning. Medrash says that these locations, in the middle of the desert, they're unknown, sandy dunes, hard to trace where these strange locations actually were, will one day rise to prominence. And to highlight this, the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, Yisasum Midbar Vitziah. We're driving now, so I'm not going to quote the whole pasuk. I'm going to read the pasuk. But one day, all these locations in the desert will become significant. Imagine that. All these sand dunes, sandbars, and unknown sub-Saharan locations in the Sinai Desert will one day be of significance historically, will one day blossom and produce fruit, become habitated, or become populated and inhabited. Why? Because these locations hosted the Jewish people. And even though it hosted the Jewish people during times of darkness and bleakness, times which weren't characterized by triumph and Jewish nationhood, they provided a location for Jews to reside, and that in and of itself constitutes historical relevancy. And historical relevancy plays itself out over a very long time trajectory, historical trajectory. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen. Now, the Medrash itself extrapolates from this that if desert provided hospitality for Jews and was rewarded because of its hospitality, these locations will one day rise to prominence. Someone who hosts a Talmud Chacham, Halachas Kamakama, will certainly benefit and be rewarded. But it's impossible to read this Medrash without thinking of the historical connotations. Throughout the last 2,000 years in particular, Jews have been expelled across the globe, have been scattered by Hashem's divine curse into Gullus, across the four corners of the earth. And it's clear to us that certain countries and certain climates and certain areas were very hospitable to Jews, and others were less so. It's clear that, in a general sense, Western Europe was inhospitable to Jews, was hostile to Jews, expelled Jews, murdered Jews, persecuted Jews, launched inquisitions. And it's just as clear that, by and large, Arabic lands, by and large, were much more hospitable to Jews. Syria and modern-day Iran and Iraq, Greater Persia, even Egypt. Chazal tell us that Pasuk says that we have to be kind to the Egyptians, and where the Egyptians are not as banned as some of the other nations that can't immediately marry, because they hosted us, because we lived in Mitzrayim. Thank you for nothing. They hosted us and they persecuted us as slaves. For that reason, we're to be grateful and we're to be respectful of the Egyptians. But the fact that they provided residence for Jews for 210 years, independent, without questioning or being qualified by the treatment, that is autonomous, that is independent, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay, and did repay, the persecutors and the tormentors, but just the provision of hospitality and of a place to live and a place to survive and a place to build our families and lead our lives. And according to this Medrash, those historical roles, the roles that Western Europe played, the roles that Arabic lands played, by and large, if we divide the world into those two sections and those two regions, will have relevance, will affect the historical mapping. And to a degree, it's hard to read prophecy into history. Sometimes it's folly, and sometimes prophecies, it's prophetic trajectory lasts hundreds of years, and it's hard to read into smaller historical swaths. But we are witnessing a bit of a contraction of some of the countries in Western Europe, specifically some of the countries that were very hostile to Jews, are falling from prominence, whether it's Spain, whether it's France. Germany was sundered, was rendered into two during World War II, and to a degree, they're rebuilding themselves. And on the other hand, history isn't static. And history always provides opportunities and dynamics for reparation and for repair. And if you look at England and Germany, two countries that were extremely hostile and extremely violent towards Jews throughout much of our history in exile in Chutzlaritz and Galus, they've been leading forces in building the state of Israel, more or less supporting the return of the Jews to their own homeland. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered them an opportunity to atone for the misdeeds. Not that we in any respect hold one up against the other and justify the past crimes with modern assistance and support, but we may expect that despite their inhospitality towards Jews in history, perhaps Germany and England will maintain a greater influence than some of the other countries that have been less vocal in their support of Israel, despite their past and despite their checkered past. And vice versa, some of the Arabic countries, which were very hospitable towards Jews but have since become violent and enemies of our state, may meet, and we've seen over the last 15 to 20 years, so many failed Arab states, Iraq, Syria, unfortunately, Tripoli, some of the other states that have experienced periods of the state of Libya. So when we witness certain countries struggling for stability and struggling for world prominence, in part because of their continued opposition and hostility towards the Jewish state. And of course, it's hard to read this Medrash without thinking, at least at the current state of the United States of America, of North America in general, which has been such a leading and pivotal force in the return of the Jewish people to their homeland, and has experienced over the course of the last 300 years such success, such prosperity and advance, and in this Medrash's terminology, in part, that's a product of the manner in which, of course, the United States wasn't hospitable to Jews in exile, certainly over the last 100 years, but in addition, and even more monumentally, has served as a springboard for Jews to build their state and to receive whatever diplomatic and international support was available through the efforts and the investment of the United States of America in particular. So it's a medrash that people have read for thousands of years, but in the last century, there's an entire new layer of meaning that has been overlaid upon this medrash. Midrashim are living organisms, and they change with time, and they change with history, and this medrash is no different.